Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, a statement from Buckingham Palace reads, "The Duke of Edinburgh has been discharged from King Edward VII's hospital and has returned to Windsor Castle following treatment for an infection and a successful procedure for a pre-existing condition. His Royal Highness wishes to thank all of the medical staff who looked after him at both King Edward VII's hospital and St. Bartholomew's and everyone who has sent their good wishes. We here at Palace Intrigue wish Philip the best and look forward to his 100th birthday on June 10th. From the Mirror, body language expert Judy James, author of the Body Language Bible, said Kate Middleton did not appear to be her smiley self when she visited School 21 in Stratford, London last week, describing Kate as sad and reflective. She added, "We're so used to seeing Kate with a 100% dazzling smile and she almost looks unrecognizable when she stops smiling. It's not what we expect from her. There wasn't a lot of eye smile going on above the mask. There was also a shot of William and Kate in the car where they were both looking either side, the two of them looking very sad and reflective." Despite this, Ms. James said the pair's body language suggested they are closer than ever, according to OK Magazine. She added, "There was very intense mirroring and postural echo between them. Their bonding signals are so intense now. They've also both got a matching hand up to their waist." Ms. James also noted that Prince William displayed continued affection for his brother as he had a soft eye expression when Harry was mentioned. From the Daily Mail, Kate Middleton found it mortifying that allegations she made Meghan Markle cry during a row over bridesmaids' dresses re-emerged during the Oprah Winfrey interview 2 years ago after being first reported in 2018, a royal expert claimed. Katie Nicol noted how you never hear about the Duchess of Cambridge falling out with anyone because she is very careful with how she treats others. Kate has never wanted any suggestion of a rift with Meghan to come out in the press, so for this story to be circulating is very hard. From what I hear, there are different versions of the bridesmaid story, not just the one Meghan discussed. Kate felt it was all sorted, so to have brought it up again was mortifying. Kate is not in a position to respond, and Meghan and Harry know that. This has been a very hard few days for Kate, but she turned up and committed to her work and duty last week. People did notice that she appeared downcast and subdued. Behind closed doors, she has been saddened, disappointed, and hurt. Kate Middleton and Prince William are an aunt and uncle again. The royal couple are overjoyed by the arrival of Kate's younger sister Pippa Matthews' second child, a little girl named Grace Elizabeth Jane. A source close to the couple tells People, "The Duke and Duchess are absolutely overjoyed by the happy news." A family source tells People, "She's perfect. Everyone is overjoyed at such a happy arrival." Some believe that an Instagram post on Mothering Sunday, the handwritten missives adorned with kisses, were as poignant as the revelation that Prince William's children write loving messages to the woman the world knew as the Queen of Hearts every year. Charlotte's card reads, "Papa is missing you." Were William's way of royal biographer Penny Jr. puts it, "I think it was very much William trying to say, I am Diana's son too." At the moment, Harry seems to have taken ownership of the whole story. He is calling the shots on what his family is all about and invoking Diana. But what he's actually done is effectively put a bomb under William's future. He's done such damage to his family. The Telegraph reports, shortly after the Cambridge's children touching cards were posted online, it emerged that Prince Harry had arranged for flowers to be placed on his mother's grave in the grounds of Althorp Park, a reminder of the different ways in which the brothers are still wrestling with Diana's legacy. "Part of me thinks that relationship is possibly irreparable," Juno says. "We know how determined William can be, and Harry and Meghan have not only trashed his wife, but accused the royal family of racism. It's the most damaging thing that anyone could say about anyone else. It is hard to see how they come back from this." And Palace Intrigue, we'll be right back. Irish President Michael D. Higgins has thanked Britain's Queen Elizabeth for her St. Patrick's Day wishes as she acknowledged with fondness her visit to Ireland 10 years ago. Her Majesty wrote, "On the occasion of your National Day, I would like to convey to Your Excellency my congratulations, together with my best wishes to the people of Ireland. This year marks 10 years since my visit to Ireland, which I remember fondly, and it marks a significant centenary across from these islands. We share ties of family, friendship and affection, the foundation of our partnership that remains as important today as 10 years ago." Daniel D'Ario, writing for Variety, says, "The American media covering Meghan's story with less vitriol and less consequence than the British tabloids that trained the UK's eyes on Markle's perceived flaws are Markle's new constituency. And to this point, they have generally walked a challenging tightrope, depicting Markle's decision to walk away from royal life with her immediate family as brave and empowering, as they depict those in her rearview mirror as inspiring and iconic. The presence of the Crown, a beautifully made, compulsively watchable, and ultimately vapid show that refuses to draw a real connection between its depiction of Queen Elizabeth as a strong and dignified woman and Princess Diana as a shabby-treated victim, has hardly helped matters. While she refused to share a word against the Queen, indeed while she shared perhaps tactically warm recollections of the heads of state's personal kindness, Margot made such a balancing act impossible. She is Prince Harry's much-beloved grandmother, and is the person who, during to inertia or lack of interest or something else unstated, is presiding over a system whose rottenness made Markle's life unlivable. She is so deeply respected that the pair would never have blindsided her with the news of their exit, and yet her camp's alleging that hung uneasily in the air. And now, in the days after the interview was taped, comes the strange news that the palace, which Markle described as so averse to act to provide her aid as she contemplated suicide, is investigating Markle's own supposed bullying while in residence. These charges seem farcical, if for absolutely nothing else than timing. Markle is no longer a part of the workings of the palace, and has not been for some time. The why now is obvious. This PR war is being waged on the Buckingham Palace side with gritted teeth and unfashionably stiff upper lip. That Markle has met every challenge so far with a smile suggests why she has won out in a more meaningful sense. Diana began to chip away at and to delegitimize an outmoded and broken system, to speak up for herself against the chattering voices of royals-friendly media, and to prompt change, if not in how the firm is run, then in how its subjects view it. Markle has, decades later, put that mission on warp speed, and it feels somewhat deflatingly corporate that the 2020s equivalent of a people's princess is a media company founder with Spotify and Netflix contracts. Well, a hustle is a hustle. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. It really helps us. My thanks to John McDermott. I'm Mark Francis. This is Palace Intrigue, and good times.